Hello, everybody. Thank you for tuning in to OK Got It, the Retaurus Messaging Podcast. Each episode, we answer your questions regarding messaging trends in conversation with our guests. This week, we are joined by Dan Lucarini, Emperor on High, but also the lead analyst of Doc AI and Intelligent Document Processing at Deep Analysis. Dan, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Chris. How are things in New Jersey?
Not too bad, but I'm very excited to talk about IDP with you, as your title would suggest. And you're calling in from where exactly?
Yeah, I live in Cornwall, which is the far southwest of the UK.
But beautiful beaches. I've seen photos.
Yes.
So great to have you here, Dan. And we are going to start just diving right into IDP, Intelligent Document Processing. So this is a product that we offer here at Retaurus. This is a technology that we have seen, I wouldn't say, I don't know, it's suddenly everywhere, but it's certainly seeing a rise in popularity and a rise in organizations looking to implement this level of solution to help automate some processes or really handle any documents there. So I guess the real question that we really want to start with is just what is IDP, for a simple explanation for anyone who doesn't know, and then how does it differ from traditional automation solutions or OCR?
Okay, yeah, I get that question a lot, Chris. That's probably number one. So we define IDP, you know, for what it's worth, a deep analysis. Well, before we do that, because that's analyst speak, right? Let me speak to folks that might be sitting in an office and they're knowledge workers, right? Doing something with paperwork, moving documents around during the day. So it turns out that computers, they can't read documents naturally. And in order to help a computer read a document, we had to create special software to do that. This has been going on for over 40 years, trying to get computers to read documents that humans created. And today we are at a point where AI has made computers very good at reading documents that humans created. So that's probably the simplest way I could explain that to anybody. You have an invoice that's just come in the mail. You opened up the envelope and there's an invoice. That's a document, right? Just one example. How do you get that data into the computer so the computer can do its thing and automate and take care of all the business that we know we use computers for nowadays? So in a very simplest explanation is IDP is software that enables a computer to read and understand documents like humans do.
This is a very succinct way of putting it. And I think then to talk about how all of a sudden it's everywhere, I think that goes hand in hand with the AI boom that we are seeing.
Yes,
and really how Gen AI has now evolved. And these large language models have also become more sophisticated. So originally it used to be you can just ask Chat GPT or any of your chosen preferred AI solution. Now you have multiple options now. Just ask it a question and get an answer. Now you can have it generate an image. And then if it knows how to create an image, well, it certainly knows how to read an image as well. So has the rise and the sophistication of these solutions really sped up the process? Is that what we're getting at?
Yes, it definitely has. So before ChatGPT came out, which when that happened, it made large language models become very popular and suddenly everybody's using one, right? Before that, though, companies have been using software that actually used language models to try to read documents on computers. But it became just something on everybody's lips in November 2022 when it first launched. So one of the first things that everybody did with ChatGPT was you talked to it, right? And it was really cool because you're having a conversation and it actually sort of made sense and it felt real. What a lot of other folks didn't realize is people like me and others in the software industry, we started giving it documents and said, what do you think of this document? And because it's a language model, it has the capability to read documents. So that's something we found at the very beginning, that generative AI has the inherent capability to read and understand. And I say understand in quotations This is a computer we're dealing with, software. I don't think it's sentient or conscious. So I use understand only in the sense that it can process that information and then take that information and use it for something else that we've asked the software to do. But that in and of itself is such a leap forward. When that happened, we started talking about IDP everywhere. And our vision was back in 2022 when this happened, that within a couple years, everybody that uses computers would just expect that their computer can read a document. Before that, it was very specialized and it was difficult to do. People would use OCR, but OCR was okay at some tasks and not very good at others. But now we have software in the form of generative AI that does a pretty good job of reading any document that we send to it. So that was the huge change that happened, Chris.
Definitely. And I think another change that we're seeing now kind of goes to what is reflected in the market. And one of the interesting aspects about the market is how you introduce an IDP solution into your already existing IT landscape. And what we've been seeing, I know one of the reports from Deep Analysis mentioned that there is a 66% replacement rate, which means, you know, this isn't just something you're adding on top of your stack. You are literally removing something, the old solution, whatever it may have been, and then putting in this new one. So instead of having it like, you know, integrate or build on top of a legacy solution. So what has caused them to look at, you know, I would say let's kind of stick with that, with the replacement rate. So why do people rip and replace instead of trying to just integrate it into the existing workflows?
Yeah, very good question. We were shocked when we did that very large user survey last year. And we asked, I think it was over 600 enterprise customers about this. And there were two numbers, actually. The one that preceded the 66% was 65%. So 65% of the end users said, we have a new IDP project. That's so astounding. I've been tracking this market as an analyst for 6 years, not that long. But I was in the market as both a sales executive and a product management executive for 25 years before that. So I've watched and participated in this market for quite a while. And we have never seen that type of interest. So what started this replacement thing was, first of all, companies that were not using IDP before suddenly had a new application for it, a new use case. And that was because generative AI unlocked something that before IDP was a very complex solution that had to be put in by experts and run by the experts in the back office. And there was a lot of training that you had to do, constantly retuning whatever you were running. And so it was really the realm of specialists. But now with generative AI, putting that into IDP solutions has made it much easier to get up and running, much faster. There's even some cases where the software can understand a document the very first time you show it. That's called zero-shot learning in technical terms for anybody out there that's into that. But that is astounding from a usage standpoint. And I think that's one of the reasons why people have suddenly discovered applications that before might have been too expensive or too complex for them to tackle. The second reason why that happened, that's because from on high, from boards of directors and CEOs came this command, we have to do AI in our company. We can't fall behind. FOMO, fear of missing out, right? Just tremendous going around right now in enterprises. We have to, you know, be the best at this. And so go do some AI. And it turns out that an IDP project is one of the easiest low-hanging fruit ways to get ROI using AI. So that's the other reason we saw this uptick in tremendous interest. So at the same time, okay, we've got these new projects. What are we going to use? Most of these companies already had something somewhere within the organization. I'm not going to call it legacy because some of these products they bought in 2019. So it's not like it's ancient, right? But the products before ChatGPT were mostly using machine learning models and neural networks, which is AI, by the way, a very cool AI. But that type of AI still required a lot of time to train for every customer. And if you change the documents at any time coming into your workflow, you might have to go retrain. But still, it worked pretty well. We had customers getting, you know, 75, 80% throughput on applications that it used to take humans days to do. They were doing in hours. So pretty cool stuff. Now we can get closer to 100%. Not quite yet, but we get much closer to it, which is meaningful for these companies. So I think that's the reason why they wanted to replace products that they'd only bought like 6-7 years ago, because the new breed of IDP products were coming with this generative AI to make it so much easier and faster to get up and running. Yeah, that's in as succinct as I can possibly explain.
Now, I think that's fantastic. And I definitely want to touch on one thing that you've mentioned, because I've seen it too, you know, as director of marketer for Retaris here. Anytime I've gone to a trade show or anytime that I've been sitting in on a service management call, for example, I've had a customer ask me, hey, what are you guys doing with AI? And, you know, I might be using them for a messaging solution that doesn't necessarily need it, but they themselves are enamored with the buzzword or enamored with the keyword, and they want to know exactly what we are doing to follow this trend. And really, you know, it becomes down to the hype and, like, you know, how much is there? And I know you guys have a great report around specifically that hype. And I have a quote that I would like to throw out. In the report you have mentioned, we've seen a spectacular display of what happens when the wisdom of the crowd meets the hype cycle on steroids. So now I think it really comes down to, is this growth and this increase of having these IDP projects or these AI projects, is it going to continue to grow, or is it just like is it the wisdom of the crowd for the moment? Or is it something that we're going to see continue to keep catching fire?
Oh, I think so. We are sort of like the anti-hype analysts. that's just in our DNA, the way we approach things. I think it's Alan is lives in Philadelphia, but he's originally from Yorkshire in England. So he comes with that classic sort of English skepticism to the problem. I live in the UK, and I'm married to a UK citizen, so I have a bit of that too. And our other analysts also live here, right? So I think we come at any new technology hype cycle with a little grain of salt and a large dose of skepticism. But we're not Luddites, you know, we're not resistant to change. In fact, one of the things we said back in 2023, when everybody started running out to try to see what they could do with GPT, was do not be like Mark Zuckerberg, who said, move fast and break things. No. Move slowly and don't break anything yet, is how we advised companies to approach this. Yes, there's tremendous opportunity here. Yes, this technology has got some great capabilities and superpowers, but we better go slow here because we're not quite sure what's going to happen when we first introduce it into our businesses. And boy, were we right about that. You know, we've gone from, isn't AI wonderful? It's going to do everything, to trust. This year, trust is the byword now in enterprise. Can we trust it, right? And this is something that we've been talking about since the very beginning. So hype, yeah, most of the hype comes from the vendors and the people who follow them and cover them and get paid by them. And that's understandable, right? Because the vendors, give them credit, you know, they've gone out on a limb and created some pretty cool tools. Now they have to figure out how to make money off of it, so they're promoting it. But we should all be cautious and look for places where we can put new AI in that's going to make a difference in terms of our businesses, not just feeling good about it, not just it made me more productive, which is happening in a lot of companies right now. And that's just like sprinkling fairy dust. Yes, I felt more productive today. Okay, yeah, wow, AI. No, IDP happens to be one of those applications where you can actually use new AI and show ROI. AI ROI, there you go. The acronyms of the day, right?
We love them in this industry. And really, you touched on a really good point too. And this really goes to the crux of, how do you turn hype into something that's actionable? And that is a question that I always answer a customer or a prospect's question with another question when they say, do you do AI? My answer is always, well, what do you want to do with it? Like, what do you want to accomplish? And really think about the business cases that you're solving. And what does your workflow look like? What is the task you really need that this will provide value for? So I think we can talk a little bit about use cases. Now, I know Retar is here with our IDP solution. We have an example of what we provide for a customer is their accounts payable department for any inbound invoicing. We have a customer here at Retaris that is based in Germany, and their accounts payable department receives 170,000 inbound invoices a month. And about 400 or so of those, it doesn't seem like a large number at all, but 400 of them are not tied to any one particular order. And that causes a lot of problem for this customer because now you have to have either a solution that can check that 400, otherwise you're relying on good old humans to spend the time, look at it, decide what this is, decide where it goes and who should act on it, and then have to explain that if they have to hand it off to another department, what needs to be done. That creates a lot of cost in staff time, and you can be more efficient. So on top of that, they also need to make sure that any of these inbound invoices that they are compliant, that they have the necessary information on there to keep the German government happy in terms of like, you need an address, a billing address here, you need a tax number, we need all this. So it also helps you stay secure, like you said, and keep you compliant. So this is just like an example of a use case that we've had here, but I'm just curious, Dan, what other use cases are out there? That you have seen. Is there any one in particular that stands out, either because it's most common or just most interesting? Where I'm open for either or.
Well, you started with the most common one, in the Retiris example. Invoice processing is by far the most common use of IDP. And it's something that we've been trying to solve this problem for a long time. Because that's invoices are something that every business has. Anybody who's in business that sells anything has invoices or buys anything has invoices, right? And so it's a common business document that just crosses all markets, all industries, and it's an interesting problem because invoices are structured because every invoice has certain information on it, right? But the problem is that there's no one structure for every invoice, and they come in different formats. They come in with the data in different parts, and then you have invoices that are scanned or faxed that are maybe hard to read by the computer. So there's a lot of challenges to being able to handle that one document type. But if you get it right, boy, does it pay off quickly, not just in the time saved, but one of the other things that happens is many companies want to pay invoices a few days earlier because they get a 2% discount, for example. And if you got the cash, why not take it, right? That's 2%. That's huge if you did that every day, right? And so, but the problem is oftentimes their users are overwhelmed, their accounting department's overwhelmed with paperwork, and they miss some of those because they don't get to it in time, right? Well, IDP software allows you to find that in minutes and expose that and then present to your accounting team or directly to your accounting system and automate it and say, pay anything that gives us an early discount. So that's why this is probably the number one use case I've seen in my years out there. But there are dozens of other use cases that we can talk about in my annual IDP report. We list, I think, about the top 15 there, and we don't even have time today to talk about those. And then there's another 150 use cases that are sort of very niche out there. Bottom line is there are so many documents and so many diverse types of documents that come into businesses. Each one of those could represent a unique use case.
And is there any wisdom that you would bestow to those customers in order for them to decide where they start when it comes to fixing it? Is it just the most common, or like how do you gauge the most impact there? Because I think maybe someone might not be really familiar with exactly how all the inner workings work. They have to go down and ask a few people. But, you know, is there an assessment that they should do internally? Is there, you know, should they, or they just go right to talking to a consultant?
So as I understand, the question is, how does an end user find a solution
for it? Right.
Well, they have to start. And when we did our that big end user study last year, we asked, what are your challenges? What have your challenges been in implementing an IDP solution? And maybe not surprisingly, the first and largest problem was change management. It was understanding how the process actually worked in the first place, and then being able to change things in the company, those processes, because that involved the humans. Because you had humans doing the work before, and sometimes humans, we do things in a different way that a computer might decide to do it. The computer might be more efficient, often is, than the way humans work. Now, there's many cases where the humans are actually more efficient and better. But in something where you've got boring documents and hundreds of them coming in, that's a perfect place to use a computer to automate, right? So the first thing that customers have shared with us is they have to understand their business processes before they can even talk about bringing in software to solve. And that's, of course, one of the mistakes that some of the vendors have made over the years in this business is to say, hey, look, you know, we can process your documents. We have great AI. And for an end user, they should be going, so what? I've got this problem over here. Let's talk about that first. So yeah, I think it always makes sense to have that conversation as a customer. Things have changed, though. It's gotten a little bit easier because the other thing ChatGPT and Claude and others do very, very well is you can ask them questions as you would a consultant. And they're not going to give you always the best answer, the most thorough answer, but they will get you started and sort of give you a guideline as to the next set of questions that you might want to ask and who you might want to ask it to. So those are a couple thoughts about how customers can deal with that today.
The solutions instruction manual is the solution itself. Just ask it how it works and it'll tell you. I love it. Is there any other challenges that a company looking to introduce IDP, maybe they underestimate? I mean, I know they got to know their own processes, but is there anything else that maybe they, that we frequently see they don't take into account before taking the dive?
One of the enduring challenges of putting in IDP is most of the vendors make their money from the volume of documents that get processed through the software. There's usually a setup fee and maybe a builder, manager license, admin license, something like that. Maybe a few seat licenses, but the vast majority of revenue actually comes from how many documents get processed. And customers sometimes get sticker shock, just like they're getting now when they get their monthly token usage bill. This problem has been around a long time because a customer may think they know how much volume they're putting through, but they could get spikes in the number of documents coming in for various reasons. It could be that they just signed on, you know, 1,000 new customers, right? And that means they're going to get a lot more paperwork for that. And customers have to be very careful to work with their vendors and model what that looks like so you don't get that sort of surprise invoice at the end of the year or the end of the quarter saying, hey, you know, wonderful quarter you just had there. You owe us $1 million now, right?
Absolutely. Okay, Dan, I think I got it. So thank you very much, Dan, for joining us. I really appreciate your insight and wisdom. Great talking with you. Thank you to everybody for tuning in. If you have any questions regarding this discussion, or if you have a question that you would like us to focus on for a future episode, feel free to email us at podcast@retaris.com. Be sure to like and subscribe on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. Those are some of the platforms that you can find this, or just directly on our website at retaris.com/podcast. So with that, folks, take it easy and have a good one, everyone. Bye-bye.